Kraft Mac and Cheese is better than 90s hip-hop. We'll remind you of your childhood without making you feel incredibly old. Kraft Mac and Cheese, best thing ever.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, look at Steve Kerr.
Uh-oh, Steve, don't get thrown out. Englewood!
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You look at the top picks, except for the Jets, are on to a new coach.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Bill Cowher. Coming up, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth, Michigan head coach Kyle Whittingham. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of The Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you're just joining us, you're finding a host with a fresh cup of coffee and a dream. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a conversation with us today. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you listening. We just had a great chat with Bill Cowher, Pro Football Hall of Famer. My new best friend forever, Kyle Whittingham, the head coach of Michigan football, is slated to join us at the top of hour number three. I've got 15 minutes with him. I will not go longer because he's got things to do.
Forever is a mighty long time.
Though. Excuse me, sir. They're all forever, guys.
All of them?
Not really.
Stamps. Like forever stamps.
Yeah, they're like stamps, Mike.
Forever stamps.
Those are great.
Yeah, they can last forever. Sometimes you just, put them in a drawer and forget about them.
Exactly.
Price of stamps fluctuate.
All right.
It does. It's great.
Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, ladies and gentlemen, fresh off of calling a de facto playoff game because it put somebody in the playoffs, the result of the Falcons and the Saints, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, our friend Mark Schlereth. Good to see you, Mark. How are you, sir?
There he is. I am doing great. Good to be back with you. Happy New Year and all those great things.
When you were going through, right back at you, when you were going through your broadcast meetings with the Falcons, did you get a sense of a coach that was wondering if he was coaching his team for the last time? Mark?
No, I did not. I was really shocked. I was really shocked. And I told this story on the Stinky Truth podcast. Like, I come into the building and I bump into the offensive line coach. And so we have about a 15-minute conversation. He's like, man, I can't tell you how much my guys respect you. We use your film with you and Tommy Nealon as a kind of and the Broncos from the late 80s of this is how it's done in the wide zone. And so like we end up having this 10-minute conversation. Then I walk out to the practice field and I was like, it was like a papal blessing. I was putting my helmet on my head on top of offensive lineman's helmets, like go and sin no more. And I was sending them on their way. Right. Because I was like this folk hero because they show so much of that film from the 98 Broncos in their meeting rooms. And then it was one of those things. Hey, would you come and consult me into the season or in the off season and do this stuff? And like the respect that people had for Raheem Morris in that building from his players and the way that the energy they played with, I thought for sure he's coming back. There's a process in learning how to win. And I had said this, Rich, during the broadcast. I was like, you can learn more from the desert about water than you can from the ocean. And you've got to learn how to win, and you've got to learn how to execute when execution is required, right? You've got to be at your best and learn how to be at your best when your best is required. And that's a process that you go through. And I thought they were on point of growing within that process, and they ended up winning four straight games at the end of the season. And then, the whole staff gets fired. So I literally on the airplane, just before I got on the airplane, leaving Sunday night from Atlanta to the time I landed in Denver, I not only got hired, but I essentially got fired within a 2.5-hour plane ride. So like,
there goes your consultancy out the door.
Right out the door. I'm one of the only people that can get hired and fired without ever actually doing the job. But it's just like, it's amazing.
Oh, my God. But, you know, when looking in retrospect as to what Arthur Blank did, Mark, it looks like when they were 5-9 or right around then, he made a decision to organizationally shift the whole damn thing. All of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like he kept everything in place except for the GM and the coach. He reorganized his entire world. And then I guess it didn't matter how many games in a row they were going to win. But wins do show what a team can do. And that's what kind of surprised me. Because normally, take a look at the Panthers. They finished strong last year. They are the ones who the Falcons wind up sending to the playoffs as opposed to themselves, which has got to hurt Arthur Blank as well. And next year, you can take a look at the Falcons with their new coach and maybe point to these last four games as that's the moment. You know, like that's where everything turned. The Lions, the few years ago, we can go on and on and on about that sort of storyline, you know?
Yeah, there's no question. I'm 100% with you. I think Arthur Blank made a decision. And honestly, as I was studying the film and kind of looking forward to this game and looking at the Atlanta Falcons, I was like, man, this is, you know, and I'm the official broadcaster of the NFC South anyhow. I've done more NFC South games than anybody on the planet. And I'm like, this is by far the most talented team in the NFC South. And so to sit there and finish in a three-way tie, but to be eliminated in early December, I understand the disappointment. And then the other thing is the news of Matt Ryan going to be a part of that organization, you know, the grand poobah of all things football, whatever it is he's going to do. You want to start with a clean slate. You don't want to have, hey, we're hiring you to reorganize and restructure what we do as an organization, but, you know, you've got to retain this coaching staff. So they get rid of the GM, they get rid of the head coach, you know, and the coaching staff in general. And you know, which is, I think the right, if you're going to do it, it's the right way to do it, to restructure an organization.
Did you, pardon me for not knowing off the top of my head, did you do the first Rams Panthers game or you did not? You did not call that game?
I did not call that game. Obviously, okay. I studied it because I did a Carolina Panther game right after that.
And what are your thoughts about the rematch here, Mark?
I just think that the LA Rams are a much, much better football team. But, you know, it was interesting having studied that game and watched that game. Some lack of execution, you know, Matthew Stafford threw a pick six in that game to Michael Jackson. And that kind of gave them a boost. And then, you know, that was a game where the one thing you can say whatever you want. And I think there's a lot of question marks about Bryce Young and is he the future quarterback of the Carolina Panthers? I think inside the building, they feel pretty good about it. I think everywhere else, people would have a lot of questions about, can that guy truly be a franchise quarterback? But he played well in that game and gave them an opportunity to win at the end of that game. Listen, the Carolina Panthers are structured in such a way that you got to run the ball. You got to take pressure off the quarterback. You've got to give him an opportunity to find his one-on-ones to Teterowa, McMillan, the rest of those guys. But the bottom line is I think the Rams are a much better football team and probably went into that game kind of taking the Carolina Panthers a little bit lightly. And I think that's ultimately what happened.
Yeah, maybe so. And before we dive into the rest of the wild card weekend with you, Mark, you would be perfectly positioned to give an opinion. You mentioned Teterowa McMillan. You just saw Tyler Shuck. Who's the offensive rookie of the year? Who would you choose?
Yeah, you know, I would never vote a quarterback because quarterbacks don't play football. They play quarterbacks. Nice. So, like, I instantly eliminate quarterbacks. Although Shuck has been amazing in the, you know, eight starts or nine starts that he had. So he was really incredible. Teterowa has been very good as well. You know, I look at a guy like, hey, Gray Zabel with Seattle. The Seattle Seahawks dominated the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, that was a butt whipping that they put on them at every level of that game. But yeah, Teterowa has been good. Shuck has been really good. There's been a lot of guys.
Shuck's the guy. Then let me just stop you there then. Instead of asking you that question, Shuck, is he's the guy sticking with him? He's definitely for sure. Yeah. Right. He's a pro quarterback. And Kellen Moore's found his guy.
Yeah. I think you look at the Saints, and this is the one, you know, beautiful thing that has happened to the Saints coming out of this thing. I mean, they lined up and that was like going door to door, knocking on doors as a kid, you know, you're like a a 12-year-old in your neighborhood and you want to get together a nice game of, you know, tackle or touch Nerf football, and you went around and knocked on doors to see if they had any kids at the house that were willing to play, because you just didn't have, it was you and your buddy, and you needed you needed eight more kids, you know, you wanted to have a 5-on-5, you know, Nerf football game. That's what they started on offense with the Saints. So he has been exceptional. Smart kid, unbelievably talented, both athletically gifted, arm talent wise, but from the neck up, just maturity rich, and doesn't really fall for the same mistake twice. They found their quarterback, and he played better than any quarterback drafted in this year's draft. He was the number one quarterback from a draft standpoint of this year's class. So they've got their guy. They've got a lot of work to do from a roster construction standpoint, but they've got their guy going forward to play quarterback.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. Normally, I would ask a man in your position going into wild card weekend, which road team has the best chance to win? This time I could ask you that question and you could say all of them and I would not bat an eye, no disrespect to all the home teams. Mm-hmm. So I will ask you, give me the number. If I set it at 3.5 for road wins this weekend, and I'll just say it again, it's Texans at Steelers, Bills at Jaguars. The Jaguars have been a wagon, man. They've won all their games in a row by an average of 19 in their winning streak. They have crushed teams. The Niners, the Chargers, you could see the Rams and the Packers. They're all stout, double digit, with the exception of the Packers, win teams. How many? I said it at 3.5. You put the over or the under? What do you take?
I'm going to go with the... Boy, I'm going to go with the under, but I think it's going to be 3.
Okay.
I think the Texans are going to win. I think that the Rams will definitely win. And then I think it's one of two, either Green Bay or San Francisco is going to come away with a victory. The Bills, the Bills are interesting because I think the Bills, this is probably the worst team they've had in recent years of their last 3 years. But obviously, the quarterback is an unbelievable X factor. So I could see them going in. But Jacksonville, as you mentioned, Jacksonville's probably going into this thing. I think Jacksonville's probably playing better football than any other team in the NFC, probably any other team in the league right now. They're playing there, and they happen to be, to me, the most complete team, or they've played the most complete football over the last probably 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay. So you think half of the wild card games are going to be road victories coming up this weekend, which, by the way, means perfect time to have the bye, because you don't want any piece of this fray. You just want to sit back, let everybody beat the crap out of each other. You put your feet up on the Barker lounger and off you go. I'll give you the floor on Seattle. You mentioned about how they whipped the Niners. What do you make of Seattle as the one seed in the NFC and how far they can go? Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, I think they have a front row seat all the way to the Super Bowl, and they drive it down, they miss a 4th-and-2, right, and like a 4th-and-1, whatever it was, down by the goal line, and I'm like, what is the aversion to kicking field goals in this league? Like, how have we gotten to this point where it just is almost like it's disrespectful to even kick a field goal? And I'm like, why would you do that? And then I watched that defense just line up. It really did. Remind me of the way they played when they won a championship under Pete Carroll with the Legion of Boom. It was like, come get a taste defense. They were like, hey, man, this is what we play. We're not complicated. We are just going to physically wear you out. I felt sorry for Brock Purdy. He got the living snot beat out of him. But every time they had a dude that they dumped the ball off to, that defensive back or that linebacker were there just punishing that pass catcher and putting him on the ground. There was no leaky yardage. There was no yards after catch. It was bam, hit 2 or 3 guys around the football. And then it was all of a sudden where you thought you'd be in, you know, 2nd down and 4, you're all of a sudden you're in 2nd down and 8. And you're like, yeah, we didn't get anything out of that play. That was the Seattle Seahawks defense. They were phenomenal. And I'll give Sam Darnold credit. You know, people will say, well, they only scored whatever it was, 13 points or whatever. But understanding and having the maturity to know, hey, our defense, they're not getting a sniff on our defense. So you know what? I'm going to be judicious with the football. I'm going to find Smith and Jigba. We're going to create enough plays. We're going to run enough plays. You know, we're going to run the ball enough to be successful. But I'm not putting us in harm's way, because that's the only way that San Francisco is going to be able to beat us tonight on the road. And that shows a level of maturity that I think a lot of people just don't have. So I think the Seattle Seahawks right now are playing the best football in the NFC without question. They and Jacksonville are, to me, going into this playoffs, the team that is, the two teams that are playing their best football.
Yeah, Jacksonville's terrific, man. We had Liam Cohen on yesterday. I had a little bit of fun with him. I said, when you talk about the Bills this week, would you mind referring to them as a small market team? That would be great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the coach is saying it with his chest. But Trevor Lawrence is buying all of what Liam Cohen is selling. Defensively, only the Bears take the ball away more from them, and nobody gives up yards on the ground as stingily as Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And that's what James Cook, that's the engine of the Bills, right? They're kind of going into that grinder. But the Broncos are still the one seed. Are you concerned about them? Do you think Jacksonville is the hot team that's going to be the one that takes the AFC down, Mark, at the end of the day?
I'm concerned about the Broncos from the standpoint of just level of execution. I think it's legit. You know, everybody says, hey, the Broncos, you know, they haven't beat anybody, or a lot of one score game wins and all that stuff. And there's value in saying, hey, man, we've been able to be at our best when our best is required and we're down. And, you know, it's a fourth quarter and we have to put two drives together. And we've done that on a consistent basis throughout the season. The thing that concerns me is the lack of attention to detail, the missed assignments, and just the lack of being able to consistently execute on the, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, three quarters, you know, we said this about Tebow back when Tebow was playing. You can't be, you know, you can't be a hero for putting out a fire that you started, right? You can't have three quarters of wreck and all of a sudden you execute in the fourth quarter and say, oh, yeah, we solved our problems. It's the lack of execution for three quarters concerns me. And you can beat teams that are maybe not up to your level from a talent standpoint or can't produce against your defense. But we're talking about playoff football. And the last time Jacksonville rolled in here as a quote unquote small market team, as you just mentioned, they hung 34 on that defense and waxed the Broncos, gave them a at home spanking, the only game they lost at home this year. So, yeah, there's a concern there.
Okay. So you're saying it's okay if the quarterback's the fire department, unless he's also the arsonist. It's basically what you're saying.
That's exactly. You can't light the fire and then put it out and be a hero.
Okay. The best offensive line in the playoffs belongs to?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Thank you, sir.
A lot of people would tell you, you know, based on grades and Pro Football Focus, it's the Broncos, but the Broncos make more mistakes than just about anybody. I think when their offense is right, they're not in it anymore. I was just going to say Baltimore when their offense is right, but they just got bounced because they can't kick a field goal. I like what Seattle did last week. I like where they're at right now. I think the Rams, if healthy, I would give it to the Rams as being the best, you know, just grinded out best offensive line going into these playoffs. If they're healthy,
Bears don't have a bad one either, Mark. You know what I mean?
Bears have been good as well. Yeah, they've run the ball exceptionally well. So they've been good. They've been good also.
Yeah, I know. And you, before I let you go, you want to chime in on the MVP race?
Obviously they're going to give it to, I think they're going to give it to Stafford, and well-deserved. I mean, Stafford is great. Again, like quarterbacks, they get all the girls, they get all the, like the accolades, they get everything else, right? They wear pink jerseys at practice. They don't have to hit anybody. Like I would never, same thing with a Heisman. I'd give it to football players, not to quarterbacks. But, you know, again,
you used to protect them for a living. Elway's not a piece of Tiffany. You're not a piece of China. Come on.
No. Elway's as tough as they come. But like you get your rewards. You get to play quarterback. Like that's your reward.
All right. So then let's go offensive player of the year. Who would you choose? There's a ton of them. You know, JSN had a great first two thirds of the season. Puka Nacua had the most catches. Saw Bijan front row center this past weekend. McCaffrey. I mean, who do you choose? Who do you choose, Mark?
Yeah, I think I would probably choose. And Bijan was unbelievable. I love Puka because he does everything and he makes some of the most circus, the toughest catches there are. But I would probably go with all the injuries, multiple quarterbacks playing. I would probably go with McCaffrey.
Okay.
Just unbelievable season. And he plays football. He's not a quarterback. So that would be football. Yeah, that would be where I would go.
He plays football.
Yeah.
You're the best, Mark. The Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Everybody check it out. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say about Wild Card Weekend, sir. Always appreciate your two cents and happy new year to you.
Likewise, my friend. Thank you for having me, buddy.
That's Mark Schlereth, everybody. NFL on Fox, Stinkin' Truth Podcast as well, wherever you get your podcasts. Right there. I mean, the man protects quarterbacks for a living, but apparently didn't like it.
Guess I never played football because I was a quarterback.
Ah. Only that's all you do.
Well.
Did you get the women?
Let's see.
See, that's an answer. That normally would just spit that out.
He did now, though.
No. Now I did.
But he's not a quarterback.
Okay.
Not anymore.
All right. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. And again, as I mentioned, your phone calls. And the head coach of Michigan football, Kyle Whittingham, in Hour 3.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Expert. Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Let's take a phone call before we get to Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. What do we want? It's so much to talk about. Every phone line is lit. Where do you want to go with this, Chris? What do you want to do here? Well, I mean, we had a Molly in Utah. You want to go with a Holly in Utah?
Sure.
Holly in Utah. What's going on, Holly?
Hi. I'm just calling. I'm a former athlete at University of Utah, in my 60s now.
Okay.
But I just want to say I don't understand the transfer portal and all the kind of excitement about it. I would have played for free. I just love playing. And I just feel like the portal and NIL has sort of ruined college sports. There's no loyalty. Nobody stays. And the whole reason I went to college was to get an education, and I felt so lucky that it was paid for, plus I got to play basketball. So I feel like it's just, I'm not even a fan anymore. I used to watch a lot more college sports, but I don't know. I feel like it's kind of ruined it. And well, my question, I guess, is how does the transfer portal, how does the paying the players, how does that satisfy the Title IX requirements? Because if you have one athlete that's a quarterback, he's paid higher. How do you align that with the law that says women should be exactly treated exactly like?
Great question, Holly. I wish I had the answer off the top of my head at my fingertips. I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV. So I wish I had that answer for you. I don't. But one thing I would say is I hear you. I totally understand what you're saying, that you would have played for free and things of that nature. Which sport did you play, Holly?
I played basketball at the University of Utah.
Okay, so perfect example then. So look how women's basketball has absolutely exploded, right?
Yes.
And the reason for that, I would have to say, is because we are watching the players go and crush it. Some of the personalities that we are seeing have been magnetic. We can go on and on and on about how they've moved on to the WNBA, which is now kind of splashed back onto college basketball. And now college basketball has gotten so big, it's splashed onto the WNBA to make that even more successful. That's a lot of money going around. How much did you get? You know, if there were, if the money was exploding back then the way it is now, and you stroll into the University of Utah stores and see your jersey being sold, and you get $0 and 0 cents from that, you'd say, "What the hell?" And then your coach leaves because he or she gets a better opportunity, but you can't. That's not cool. You know what I mean? And it's all being built off of your sweat and blood and tears. And I understand you wanting to do it for free. It's awesome. I just think that there has to be some sort of opportunity for the players to rake in the cash in the same way. It's just not the day and age of the way it used to be for us anymore, Holly. It's the truth.
I agree, and I like what you said, that there needs to be some kind of a contract, because I think they should be paid something. Yes, I think NCAA was just totally benefiting and collecting all this money, but I think there should be something. You can't just go every year. I mean, there's 3,000 people in the football transfer portal right now. I mean, that's crazy. Who wants to coach that and worry about all that, plus recruiting, you know, high school kids? I just think it's, I don't know, I just don't agree with it. I think you go to college to get an education. How many of those football players that are in the portal are worried about graduating, and how do their credits transfer from one school to another? I mean, you're supposed to get an education. So, I don't know, that was more important to me, to have an education.
Thank you.
It was paid for, and I couldn't believe it that it was paid for, and I still got to play.
Thanks for calling in, Holly. Greatly appreciated. Call back. So that's Molly in Utah, Holly in Utah. How can we complete the triple play in hour number three?
Polly, maybe?
Polly in Utah.
Along came Polly.
We have seen a lot of women athletes break the bank financially with the NIL deals. Olivia Dunn was up near $4 million. Of course, Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers. Angel Reese was up there. We just saw the first million-dollar college softball athlete, Najari Kennedy from Stanford. So the money is there on the women's side as well.
No, and they should reap the benefits.
Absolutely.
College athletics exploding in revenue, but the players see none of it. Really? Really? Come on.
Rich, they're getting a free education.
I understand that. And that is valuable. It is
kind
valuable.
Of what Holly's point was back in those days, right? That was the win right there. To get.
Of course, I understand that, but that was, you know.
That was years.
Three meals a day, TJ.
I understand.
Three hot,
I understand there is a value in it, and trust me, I can't wait for my kids to get a college education. Not to get too deep, but I'm downright frightened of what AI is going to be for them when they get out of college. Yeah. And so in this day and age, you're 18. You're 19, you're 20, you're 21, and you have the benefit of performing in an era when you can get paid. Go get paid.
Yep.
I totally understand it. But at the end of the day, we need to have a system where they can get paid, they can get what they deserve, and you could still build a team without having to do that every year. I mean, even in professional sports, the first contract is for 4 to 5 years for an NFL player, depending on when you're drafted. That you have to have some sort of ability to team build. Otherwise, you know, how can you root for a team if you're a fan? How can you build a team if you're in management? And also, how can you expect, if you are a player every single year, to, you know, you still love being on the campus. You love being in the school. You love being in the program. You don't want to leave. But suddenly all your colleagues leave, and now you have to because you want to win. It's kind of crazy. There's very, like, if we need the guardrails. Get Sankey back here so he can tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Monday program that we always do, Overreaction Monday, for on a podcast. And every Tuesday, we have this segment. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction.
Monday.
All right.
On a Tuesday.
Everybody.
And you were on a good streak, too.
Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. What's going on over there, Chris?
Guys, you know, it's that time of year, week 18. Monday, Black Monday. Coaches, unfortunately, losing their gigs. Not in Cincinnati. They're running it all back, guys. Did you see that? They're running it all back. Everybody's coming back, all the coaching staff. With the Bengals making zero changes, expect the same results as the last two seasons in 2026.
Can I ask you a question? Will Joe Burrow play all 17 games?
He played all 17 the year before.
Will he play all 17 games?
You got the
it doesn't matter.
Ball next to you. Rich, ask him.
He played all 17 in 2024.
Will Joe Burrow play all 17 games?
He was awesome that
year. The Magic 8-Ball says you may rely on it.
Oh,
hey, isn't that great news for Bengals fans?
Great.
Changes things. The 8-Ball ain't never wrong.
I will just say this. If Burrow and Chase said there needs to be some changes and those changes aren't made, you're right. There may be other changes that they're referring to that don't mean the coaching staff. I understand that sounds absurd. All I know is that they started 2-0 and then Joe Burrow got hurt and everything went sideways. So.
Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, Rich.
I understand what you're saying. That's not, all said, that's not an overreaction. That's a reasonable reaction to what's happening in Cincinnati. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's not an overreaction. That's a reasonable reaction. What else you got over there?
Something special is going on in Pittsburgh, TJ. That's your neck of the woods.
Please believe it.
Eight looked like 12. And you know they were really missing, though?
Who?
Four. Four's back.
Four is back.
DK Metcalf is going to have the most receiving yards and multiple touchdowns of the wild card round.
Dude, that is an overreaction. I know Steelers.
He's got something to prove.
I got it. I understand.
And the only way they win this game is with a big DK Metcalf game.
Christopher, with my own two eyes and my voice in the booth in SoFi Stadium, I saw that Houston Texans defense. I understand. Riley Leonard and the Colts went into Houston and gave the Texans a bit of a scare. At the end of the day, I see not one, not two, not three, but four defensive backs for the Houston Texans to have four interceptions at least. Derek Stingley Jr. is an all-pro and one of the best in the business. They are going to put him on four. And if it's not him, there's Lassiter. There's also some hard-hitting safeties. The Steelers are going to have their hands full. I'm not saying they won't win. I love Bill Cowher's comment in hour number one saying that the Steelers haven't lost in Monday Night Football since 1991. And that wasn't me. Chuck Knoll.
It wasn't me, he said.
He threw that one on Chuck Knoll.
Shag.
May he rest.
It's true that.
You know? But multiple touchdowns and most. If that happens, I am happy for Steelers fans to eat my words here.
Look at his muscles.
I understand that, brother.
That's AI.
And I know he's got something to prove. He's got a chip and all that sort of business. But the Houston Texans are no Washington Generals, sir. Overreaction. What else?
You see all these teams getting rid of their head coach, but they're keeping the GM. These teams are crazy for firing their coaches but keeping the general manager. You clean house, you clean the whole house. You don't just clean the kitchen and leave the bathroom a mess. You know what I'm saying, Rich Eisen?
Mm-hmm.
This is madness.
On behalf of RES Consulting, which never gets a call this time of year.
We could
save ownership a ton of money hiring this firm to say, find me some candidates for general manager or hiring that firm. Find me some candidates for head coach, as if you don't have ChatGPT to do that. You need some other people who, this is what you need to do, sir. You need to hire this person or that person, or in the case of the Colts or the Saints or the Seahawks, madam. Listen, this is a proper reaction. It's a proper reaction. You're going to have a coach, then the GM's hired. And if they don't win, the GM will absolutely go to ownership and say, That was never my guy. Give me my guy. Right. Can I have my guy? You don't want to be the coach in that situation either. It's not great.
Not great.
But we'll see. This, on behalf of Arias Consulting, is a proper reaction. Did you find? I know we locked eyes. I know we have the poltergeist drop.
I did not have that one readily available. Rich,
okay. Mark. This house is clean.
I was going to play it.
You need to clear that with Mike beforehand. You understand the power of drops, which is, by the way, was a great Huey Lewis song that never made it.
The power of drops.
Alt title. Yeah. Alt title, I think.
That would have been great in Back to the Future.
Power of drops.
Yeah, that would have been great.
You know, I have just one rule when I think about Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
What rule is that?
Whenever there's a two-time Coach of the Year on the market, you hire him and you say this: Kevin Stefanski is going to be coaching in the playoffs next year.
For who? Which one of the six?
Doesn't matter.
What does that mean, doesn't matter? Of course it matters.
No, it doesn't.
Of course
it does.
He's
that good of a head coach. He's going to come in, resurrect, quarterback whisper, boom, playoffs.
Well, I know one of the six teams he won't be coaching because they're the ones who fired him. So give me the name. I want to hear it.
Giants.
I want to hear it because, I mean, you're just, it's the Giants, Titans, Falcons, Raiders, Cardinals.
Giants or Falcons?
Well, the Falcons almost made it this year.
They were ruled, they were eliminated officially a month ago and still tied for the division.
I know, which caused the Bucs to be out because if the Bucs didn't have that pesky third team in, they'd be the one hosting the Rams this weekend. I'll buy this, sure. Okay.
Okay.
What else?
Okay, great. You know, I'm listening to all the end of the year post-mortem sound. And I heard this from our good friend and guest last week.
I do think, as humbly as I can say it, that I could coach at this level. And I know enough about the game and about the guys and from a leadership standpoint, camaraderie, all that comes with it. But again, that's not something that I'm sitting here pursuing. I really, like I said, if anything I learned the last 4 weeks is you take it one day at a time.
With a lack of star head coaching candidates,
yes,
someone should hire Philip Rivers to be their head coach next year.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, what he told us last Friday at this very moment that we're having this conversation, he could be in eighth period PE doing the lift with his players that he said he'd be doing on Tuesday. But he also did say that his one son is the senior quarterback and another son is a freshman quarterback. That would be, you'd have to really come correct with Philip and say, we want you to move from Alabama to Cleveland, Las Vegas, Atlanta, Atlanta's closest, Tennessee, not too far off, or New York City or Arizona.
You don't think one of these quarterbacks?
And say, we would like you to coach our kid rather than you coach your kids. And it would have to be a significant offer to turn down now, but I don't blame him for saying keep my number, folks, because at some point I will run out of children to coach. And I, of course, he can coach at that level, one would think. Now, I'm sure a lot of other, that's why he says it humbly, because there's a lot of people beating the sticks right now, knowing that they've been told beat the sticks before you know, you can come back here and have a Zoom with us with your PowerPoints. Why not kick the tires? Sure. For sure.
I liked it.
Okay. You got one more over there? You got to see. No? Yes?
Like I told you what.
I think we need one more.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. We'll get one more.
Don't bother him while he's doing his banking during Overreaction Monday on his Tuesday.
I'm looking for the house is clean still.
Okay, great. Well, it's over.
We're way past that.
Yeah, we're way past
the house is already clean. You know, TJ, I'm watching the Thunder. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the Thunder anymore. Someone other than OKC is going to win the NBA title this year.
All right.
6-6 in the last 12 games.
I know that. Victor Wembanyama in particular giving them fits.
What's going on?
Sure, I'll buy this for you. I'll buy this on behalf of the National Basketball Association that must be glad that nobody's running away with it like this.
I really thought they were going 80-2 to also.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
They're 30-7, guys.
All right.
It's over.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's it.
I don't blame you. That's not an overreaction right now that you're giving me 29 other teams, other franchises.
Well, I'm giving you like four, maybe.
I don't know. It's probably more than that.
I don't know.
Tatum's coming back soon, TJ. So.
That was okay. Now we get to the core.
Hey, your Clippers took care of business last night against the Warriors.
Yeah.
Snoop on the mic. talking about Steve Kerr getting ejected.
Steve Kerr was losing his
Steve Kerr's having a season.
By the way, when you see, and that great overreaction Monday and a Tuesday, when you see Snoop doing what he's doing with a headset on and a microphone in his hand, do you remember who was the one who gave him his first press pass for a big sporting event?
He wanted to do this.
The Rich Eisen Show. It's Super Bowl 50, 10 oh, yeah. years ago.
What was the? What did he call it? Wasn't journalism. It was
analism. Which I'm glad he said it that way.
I want to get into analyst.
Yeah.
Instead of the other way where you put the emphasis on the...
Oh, God. I've said enough. I was subtle enough. You don't need to take the hammer out and hit it on the head, sir.
Some people don't get it.
All right. Let's take a break here before we get any more trouble on Disney Plus and ESPN Radio.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Hiring your small business can feel like a full-time job, so it's important you hire right the first time. LinkedIn Jobs AI Assistant takes the heavy lifting out of it. It filters applicants based on the criteria you set and suggests 25 great fit candidates daily so you can invite them to apply and keep things moving. Get started by posting your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. We just were having a conversation on TV only about how long until it's no longer appropriate to say Happy New Year to somebody.
Yeah.
I say a week. Chris said you get all month, which I think is psychotic. I said waiting till like January 28th to say somebody Happy New Year. It's like asking somebody the name, your name again that you've been golfing with for the first three holes. By the fourth tee box, you have to know there's this person's name. Otherwise, you're now spending 45 minutes with somebody who's already told you your name. Like, tell me your name again? That's disrespectful. Like, you cannot, once you hit the fourth tee box, ask somebody their name again.
So you're going to go 14 more holes of golf and...
I would. I would wait to try and pick up on somebody else using their name. Steal a look at their scorecard to see their name that written down on it.
Maybe they got their name on their bag or something.
Yeah. Or something like that. Yes.
Would
yes.
be easier just
you cannot
like,
after three holes of golf, which in some places is like 45 minutes long. Certainly if you're waiting on the par three, the inevitable par three. There's an inevitable backup. Yep. You're now asking somebody waiting after hanging with them conversations on the fourth tee box. What's your name again?
Swear.
That's unacceptable.
Hi, my name is Tag.
I learned that the hard way as well. Back when I was in Bristol, Connecticut, I played at a place called Tunxis Golf Club. Is it called Tunxis? T-U-N-X-I-S. I think it's still there. This is before my second contract, and I joined a golf club.
Yeah, Tunxis Country Club.
Yeah, and so I played with and I was putting. I got hooked up with this. Nice couple. Mm-hmm. I'm putting, and I wound up about a foot shy of a birdie putt. And I said, damn it, hit it, Sally. And the female in the other part of my group says, pardon me? Her name was Sally.
And then along came Sally.
Lay down.
Now I'm in a really tough spot because, A, I didn't know her name.
Right.
B, I have to tell her, no, I'm not referring to you. I'm just making a misogynistic joke about my putting ability.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that was terrible. That did not go well for me.
My mother's name. They were adults who had
hit
never heard
Sally
that saying before?
And she goes, what? Huh? You're referring to me?
It's pretty good.
You mean it wasn't not for me because I missed the putt too.
Okay. Well.
Sorry. What were you saying?
No, I just say there were adults.
I was into it.
Who had never heard that saying before? Like that? I thought everybody had heard.
She might have been, but she might have also thought I was now insulting her because she thought I knew her name because she told it to me probably over and over again.
Well, then that's on you for not paying attention.
I'm aware of that. I'm not that good when I meet a ton of people. I need to take better mental notes of what somebody says their name is. I bet you that's why Kilbourne called everyone Sparky.
Yeah.
You know, what's up, Spark? It's a way to just not even remember somebody's name.
It's that Tiger Woods gif from recently, or the meme.
Big Dog.
It's like, what's up, Big Dog? Let's go get this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a way to do it.
They're covered.
Well, yeah, like you asked me once, I called you Joe, and you were like, did you call me Joe? And I'm like, yeah, that was like a DC thing my friend did. He would just call everybody Joe, like, what up, Joe? So he wouldn't have to remember anyone's name.
Okay. Very good.
So,
okay.
There he is.
There he is.
Just
there he is.
Say happy
Big Dog
New Year and get over it.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.